head out to the Toyota of Hollywood online shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors. One of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast, joins us this morning. Kyle, how you doing, man? How you holding up?
Well, I'm doing all right, Joe. I'm feeling good enough to come down for the game this weekend. So here's hoping to bring a little good luck down for us.
Well, I think you're coming at a really good time because the excuses, there's none left. You're going to be as healthy on offense as anybody in the league from the start of the season to having all the starting five on the O-line. Jonnu Smith playing pretty well. You got two wide receivers on the outside, haven't been able to get the ball, but you've got your quarterback back and three healthy running backs. You can run your whole offense, man, and you're playing against an Arizona defense that's just not very good. Those things all equal, you should be able to get that offense going again.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you make great points about like player availability and what the rest of the team was able to do with Tua out on the sideline. But I think the thing that I have the most encouragement about. Can you take that? Thank you.
You can talk to your daughter anytime you need to because this is a family show.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
And if you got dogs, we also love our dogs. So go ahead.
I think the thing that I'm most optimistic about is, like, we hear all this about this being a timing-oriented offense. But the timing, even if it's off with Tua back for missing time, it's still going to be so much better than what it was the past 4 weeks that you do expect there to be a lot of production. And right. I don't think you're going to see the best version of what this offense can be, but the fact that you're going to see the ability to play complementary in a matchup that you feel like you do have some good things you can take advantage of, especially in the secondary of the Cardinals. Like, I expect them to move the ball a lot, and I'll be disappointed if they don't move the ball a lot because they've shown the ability to move the ball running the ball the last couple of weeks.
Right.
That you can lean on that even if you're not firing on all cylinders passing the ball.
Yeah, I totally agree. You just got to clean it up. You know, you can't miss field goals. You can't have a bunch of penalties that end up calling plays back or putting you in third and super long situations. And obviously, you can't turn the ball over, those especially in bad field positions. So outside of that, man, I just think this is a chance to really get healthy before you go to Buffalo. So I saw a lot of social media stuff yesterday. I very seldom see it, but I saw – so they release off the practice squad one of their tight ends, free agent, that had a nice little preseason for himself. And the Julian Hill stuff started up, like, why is this guy still on the team? So Julian Hill is a blocking machine. His motion blocking and stuff that he's doing, the problem is all the penalties.
Sure.
And probably should be a little better as a receiver. But what's your take on Julian Hill? I'm just curious. Because the team's not giving up on him. They think he's got a chance to be really good.
I think he has a chance to be really good, too. And I'm willing to live with the penalties that have come. I mean, it's getting so bad now. He's getting blamed for false starts on the punt team, and he's not even the guy false starting.
Right. Yeah, he got blamed for everything. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
And look, I get it. The holding penalties, he's had three of them. One of them was a drive killer against Seattle. The other two, they actually end up getting a fresh set of downs on both of those penalties. And the rest of them are like the five-yard varieties, the illegal formation on the punt team for not being on the line of scrimmage, being off the line of scrimmage. He did have a couple of false starts in the first 2 weeks. They scored a game-time field goal against Jacksonville on one of them, and then the touchdown that they scored against Buffalo. He had a false start on that possession, too. So the numbers are there. They're not back-breaking penalties. And this last one wasn't even him. And I'm like, what are we mad about? The alternative is Durham Smythe, who's been here for a long time. We know he's a functional tight end, too. But you saw Durham Smythe play over 800 snaps last year, and the team went out and brought in multiple pass-catching tight ends and has let Julian Hill pass him in the depth chart because he's a better blocker.
Right.
So, and I know everybody's looking for accountability. That was one of the big things for me over the last couple of weeks in the games that the Dolphins have lost. And they're looking at Julian Hill and the penalty number and asking, why is there not accountability for Julian Hill to get sat down or have Durham Smythe play? On the pecking order of list of problems that this team has had, like Julian Hill's mistakes aren't even costing you points when you have the opportunity to make points. Durham Smythe dropped the touchdown against Seattle that was right in the breadbasket,
yep.
And Durham Smythe had a holding call that took a 35-yard run off the board that would have had you in scoring territory against the Colts. And everybody comes out of the game and they're mad at the guy that false started on the punt team that didn't even move.
Yeah, I had talked to the coach, his coach, who's assistant head coach, and he said, Joe, he's got crazy talent, and he's going to be a good one.
People forget he played at Campbell University.
Yeah.
2 years ago. He has plenty of he has a ton of talent. He's a better athlete than Durham. He's a much better run blocker right now than Durham. So I'm all in with that part of their process. I agree with them wholeheartedly on this one.
Let me ask you about another guy that is kind of mixed bag right now. Odell Beckham Jr. Has been back, but he's only run basically slant routes. But what's your take on Odell Beckham Jr.?
I thought it was a bummer. The target that he got at the end of the first half against Indy, if that ball's on time, it's definitely a catch. It's definitely a first down, and he might have a chance to split a couple guys and get a chunk gain and maybe get into the end zone. So when that happened in real time, it's like, oh, okay, you got everybody out on the field. It's third and four. You threw at their best coverage player. That's an interesting choice. But Huntley takes like an extra shuffle hitch, and then the ball's kind of not out in front of him where it should be. If that's a precision play, it's a first down. So I guess the bummer with that is Huntley's used to throwing to Odell, so those would be the kind of reps you would hope you have some translatability with. I think he was never going to be a volume guy. It was always going to be selective opportunities. They talked about being able to help him on third down. We've seen the past couple of weeks they've run out this 11 personnel package where it's Odell, Waddle, Hill, Jonnu Smith, and then Devon Achane. I think that group can do a lot of damage, but you have to have a functional passing offense to do it. So I guess he's kind of been weaned in. I'm not surprised that the volume hasn't been great, but I have been hopeful, and I am hopeful that it's going to be better production than what we've got.
Well, everybody's making a big deal about, listen, a third wide receiver, we have zero production. As a third true wide receiver behind Waddle and Hill, hell, they've had trouble with production, let alone the third guy who just, you know, there's nothing there. Is that important to you that gets done? I think if they got the running game, they're two wide receivers and Jonnu Smith, I don't think that third wide receiver is as important as a lot of other people do. What do you think?
I think Jonnu Smith's emergence answers that question for you. You needed another option because teams are going to press up on you and they're going to play safety over the top of both of those guys. Okay, who's the guy in that case? When you get press, man, cover two, aggressive, or they go true zone, but they bracket both of the guys that you have. And if you put them on the same side, then they're going to box it. They're going to put 4/3 and try to leverage it that way. Away from those answers that defenses have, whether it's one on either side of the field or both of them on the same side, who can win? And Jonnu Smith has started to show you that ability over the last couple of weeks with the ways that they've been using him. That alleviates, hey, you need a wide receiver three. You'd love to have a wide receiver three. You'd love to get matchup specific, and teams that run a bunch of 11 personnel have a wide receiver that can do it. And I think Odell can selectively do it with some of his routes. He physically looks good. But the targets and the passing concept and being able to process the field at the line of scrimmage to know where we're supposed to go with the ball and when we're supposed to get there, like none of that's there yet. So it's kind of to be determined for me, but I agree with you. Like, we're not building the Madden team, right? Like, you're going to have 99s across the board at all your skill spots. And I think what they have is enough to have the answers that they need.
You all right with the pass rush defensively? And listen, I'm talking about defense that's really not the problem on this team. That's a fourth-ranked defense in the NFL, and they're quietly. And I thought defensive coordinators really got a good feel for his defense and what they can do. And that blitzing last game with Ramsey so much was fantastic. I loved it from the outside. But I want to ask you, pass rush, are you concerned about it?
A little bit. If we're being honest, I did see a lot of authentic wins off the edge. A lot of their pressures came with simulated pressures and DB pressures and the guys inside. And I didn't think either Calais or Zach had their best game rushing the pass of this past game. But just the guys off the edge that you have right now, there's not a lot of we're going to win one-on-one matchups against offensive tackles.
All right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But it just means you're going to have to play the game a certain kind of way, and it's going to change the numbers you have behind you in coverage.
We got Chop Robinson's been a topic since we drafted him, and everybody runs to a stat sheet and saw that he didn't put up big numbers at Penn State, and what are we doing? And other people are going, oh, my God, he's a freakish athlete. You didn't see him at the combine. He's going to be a special one. I know it's early, and I know how Bo feels about him, and who played that position and has had lots of sacks in his career. What do you think of him? He had a chance for a sack right up the middle, and he got, like a lot of guys, that big, strong son of a gun got outside and got away from it. But what do you think of Chop Robinson's pass rushing right now?
Yeah, between that and the tackle for loss opportunity they had on Trey Sermon that when they were going down to kick one of those field goals, a couple missed opportunities for him. Look, he's playing ahead of schedule based off of the injuries that they have in the room. You knew when you drafted him, he doesn't really have a robust pass rush plan as an individual pass rusher. It was more traits. It was more motor. It was more how the defense moved him around at Penn State. You were hopeful they were going to do some stuff with him at Miami in that regard. But they're just down numbers on the edge. So that means he's playing more on early downs than what he ideally should be, if we're being honest. But you need bodies. And the run defense is and getting your hands placed and setting a hard edge and deconstructing blocks and processing combinations or feeling crack. You can't get sealed by Michael Pittman on a two-point stance when you have outside leverage on him at the snap on a quarterback run for Anthony Richardson that helped milk more clock down as they're trying to milk the clock and get in the end zone and try and seal the game. You ultimately hold him to a field goal. But they picked up 8 yards on a run for Anthony Richardson. You got blocked by a wide receiver. Like that kind of stuff, it adds up across the body of work of a game. But unfortunately, especially with like Emmanuel Ogba down,
he's got to play.
You need the bodies. Use a first-round pick on him, so he's going to play. And so, like, I don't think you should be surprised by any of the struggles, and that was part of the skepticism that existed with that pick and what it means for a team that's trying to contend right now to get a player whose strengths and weaknesses are like that. You know, they picked that, and they did it with Patrick Paul. They played the long game with both. And the question is, okay, you know, relative to the injuries that you have and what you need to be competitive this year, is that going to bite you in the butt because it has a chance to?
Yeah, I'm not big on the long game. That's another one here in South Florida, starting at the top. I'm not a huge fan. I'm a now game, not necessarily develop everybody for the future. And I get you got to build it through the draft. Don't get me wrong, but I'd like to see guys have an impact right away because it does work other places.
Especially those early picks, Joe.
Yeah.
Especially those early picks.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, and we agree. Hey, what do you think of Kamara and the little bit that he played?
He showed some nice physicality. I think it was kind of exactly what you thought you were going to get from him. He took on pullers really well. He collapsed the pocket well. The questions with him are a little bit more on passing downs, length, and ability to get off of blocks to continue. But, you know, I think they're going to wean him in, and I think he has a chance to, like a lot of Emmanuel Agba's production has come off twists and stunts and games up front and stuff like that. Like, I think Kamara can be really good in that kind of stuff because he can play through lateral contact really well because he's low to the ground. He's not the tallest guy with a big surface area. Like, his center of mass sits much lower than Chop's does, and I think that's why you see Chop, sometimes he can get leveraged and pushed off a spot. No, he's much more explosive than Kamara is, but I think Kamara, selectively through some of those twists and stunt games that they have, has the opportunity as he builds out from here to have some nice production for you. And I hope that he gets a lot more run. I would also shout out Tyus Bowser. I thought he was their best edge in this pass game that they played against the Colts as a guy who they obviously is familiar with the scheme and Anthony Weaver, but came over from a different practice squad earlier this season. And he's giving you some pretty solid reps. I think he's somebody that at least deserves a shout-out in this edge group for a guy who has played a lot of football elsewhere, and he's doing a nice job for you with very little time to get ready to play with the teammates that he's playing with.
Yeah, hey, I leave you with this one. So I hate hearing it, but listen, it's over and done, and the writers ask these questions, but Tim Boyle said, man, they did a great job on our two guys on the outside. I have a vision of too deep every time I hear that. Well, we can't do it because they're in too deep. Or, well, I don't believe, and I know you agree with this, I think you do, that I don't buy you can take Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle together out of the same play. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. There's too many different things you can do. I'm saying if you're just going to run right at the safety, sure, he can lock on and run with you deep. But
yeah,
we did a pretty good job the last couple of years, and nobody ever brought this topic up.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing right now, or at least it feels like, I don't have the numbers to back it up, but this is kind of what my takeaway has been the last couple of weeks. It doesn't feel like they're moving those guys at the snap very often right now. Where you think about Tyreek and the quote-unquote, I'll use air quotes, your cheat motion.
Oh, no, I totally agree. He simplified everything, absolutely, you know? To get rid of penalties, yes.
So you did that to get rid of penalties, but you are running motion a lot more with your fullback and your tight ends to try to get advantages in the run game. So that, to me, feels like a lot of their investment that they've kept in moving players before the snap,
yeah,
is changing the numbers on which side of the center when you're trying to run the ball. And obviously they've ran the ball 40 times each of the last 2 weeks. So that, to me, feels like when you end up being static with your wide receivers, it makes it easier to put the cap on. So that's kind of where,
yeah,
it's one of those things that I'll be looking for against Arizona is, okay, can we get Jalen and Tyreek in motion a little bit more so that they have free access at the snap? And they're not able to get a bead on, okay, we're going to play a hard flat corner here and cloud over the top with a safety over the top, and then we're going to bracket with the nickel inside, and if he comes inside, I'm going to say, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's where my eyes are at with that storyline, but I do agree with you. Like, you've got two guys that are way too talented to just be like, oh, they took them away from us. We couldn't throw to them. Like, there were opportunities that they had to have schemed targets. Like, they tried to run, like, a pseudo screen on a shallow on 3rd and 7, and they ran Waddle on – he was in a stack with Malik Washington, and Waddle ran a fade, and Washington ran underneath it to run the cross. That should probably be Jalen Waddle running the cross when the guys on the other side of the field are setting up the block to try and get a run after catch opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, little things like that, you could get those guys.
So, before I let you go, does this call, now that you're coming in town, and I know you have some really good friends that throw one of the great tailgates in the history of South Florida, are you going out there? Are you?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Well, that's going to – force me to try to find some time to get out
down
there. I can't do the shots though. They go. They do the shots, you know, or
they,
two.
They gaslight me and try and get me to do a few. I might save it till right before the game and take one to appease them a little bit. But no, I got to be on my P's and Q's. I got to make notes during the game.
Me too. That's Joe drinking again. I can tell. All right, hey Kyle. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it, brother. We'll see you when you get down here.
All right, thanks, Joe. Sounds good.
All right, Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fence podcast, joining us here this morning. We're running a little bit late here, so we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.